Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a great show lined up for you, a lot of fun things ahead. But before we do anything else, Mr. Deep Voice Announcer Guy has something that he very much wants to say. Let her rip, Tater Chip.
Daniel and Tess are childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Deep Voice Announcer Guy. In just a few moments, we've got some great music from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. But first, let me give you just a taste of what we want to talk about today. The Bible has so much cool stuff in it that most people don't think about very often. Did you know that Jesus flew like Neo of the Matrix? Jesus teleported. And according to the Bible, translated believers eventually will get bodies like unto his glorious body. There's reason for Christian believers to anticipate that they will have those same types of abilities that are attributed to Jesus. There's a whole lot more biblical prophecy about the millennial kingdom age than most people realize. And as we've studied the scriptures, we've realized that we can even get a peek into the endless future beyond the great white throne of judgment after the millennial kingdom age. We're going to talk about all that and more in just a few moments. But first, from their album, Let Your Glory Fall, this is Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The name of the song is My Praise.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a warm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound for me. That's what I want my praise to be, like a fragrant rose. Already possess, Lord, I'm so unworthy. Yeah, I'm just one of the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me. Your heart is open wide, you long for what I bring. I pray somehow you'll find this simple offering.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a sun.
Like a gentle rain plays a symphony, that's what I want my praise to be. Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like
teleport with Tess and Daniel to a place beyond time, space, and imagination. Although our world has had visitors from that one, this is the first time in history that it's gone the other way. Tesseract will transform you in mind-stretching ways. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph, available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon or at authorstock.com. Available wherever great books are sold.
You know, I've got two nonfiction books written now and two fiction books. I'm two-thirds of the way through the writing of this trilogy. And one of the questions that I get asked sometimes, in fact, quite often, by both believers and unbelievers, is why are you writing fiction? What is a preacher of the gospel doing writing novels? And for those that are curious, I want to go ahead and let you know why that is. Society has proven in recent decades that when you do decades of research and you write your findings in scholarly journals, only scholars read those journals. And when Bible scholars spend decades studying the Bible and then they write their conclusions only in theological magazines and in theological books, only theological scholars read those items. We've seen it demonstrated over and over again that those who package their ideas in the form of entertainment are the ones who shape and mold society's belief systems. And so I have taken sound biblical doctrine and packaged it in the form of novels. I use fictional characters that portray biblical principles, and it is enjoyable entertainment, but it is entertainment with a purpose. And some of the ideas that have come from scholars and come from those of the academy in recent years, those that are anti-Bible, anti-religion, anti-God, they kind of scoff at Christian doctrine. Some of their ideas have really taken hold as they've been presented in television shows and movies and entertaining books. And we seek to counter that. Let me give you a couple of examples. For many years now, in fact, for decades, the idea of evolution, Darwinist evolution, has been portrayed in science fiction novels and in science fiction television programs and movies, till the point that a great number of people, just in the general society, not scholars, but just your rank and file person on the street, has taken to believing that this must be the unquestioned consensus of all the scientific community. That's not true. It's not true by a long shot. And my first novel, the first book in the trilogy, New Immortal, part of its purpose was to bring some biblical doctrine to bear on this false concept of evolution, and also to bring scientific research that disproves it into light. Another purpose of the book was to bring out in layman's terms and through enjoyable entertainment, bring out for the rank and file reader some of what the Bible has prophesied about the future. I want to say something that is perhaps going to sound odd at first, but Bible believers and Star Trek fans ought to have a lot in common. Let me explain. One of the things that makes Star Trek appealing as science fiction is its bright vision for the future. And people who will give the Bible a chance will see that the Bible is filled with prophecy about the future. And although there are some times of judgment ahead and some kind of horrific times ahead, overall, the Bible's prophecies about the future are very bright. This is one of the things that's always made Star Trek appealing to me and made me willing to overlook its very blatant teaching of evolution. Is its bright vision for the future. I've always been a science fiction fan, and as you well know, there are different kinds of science fiction. There's the nightmarish, scary science fiction, like Aliens. There's the complicated, and we want to wow you with our gadgetry type science fiction. And then there's visionary science fiction. And Star Trek falls into that visionary category. One of the questions that visionary science fiction authors have touched on repeatedly is the "Are we alone in the universe?" question. Is there any intelligent life anywhere else in the cosmos? extraterrestrial life, ET. And I want to mention to you a couple of really interesting things that the Bible has to say about this. Consider that angels are the biblical equivalent of ET. Biblically, it's undeniable that there was intelligent, created life existing elsewhere before the earth was ever formed. And I want to bring forth to you today several biblical reasons to think that the same Creator either has made or will make other intelligent life after having made us. We would be arrogant to think that we are the last such intelligence to be created. Now, why is this interesting? Well, first of all, it allows that the immortal, the glorified immortal believer that is exploring the universe and perhaps even multiple universes after the great white throne of judgment is going to have a great deal of context in his life. And this brings me to the second of these concepts that are coming from some in the academy, some scholars that are anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-religious. One of the ideas that they're bringing forth is that we should scoff at the eternal life that the Bible offers. We should laugh at this. It's a pie in the sky. It would be a meaningless existence because, they say, to have a society of people who cannot die and cannot get sick, that there will be no empathy, no sympathy in that existence, and that it will be a boring life without context. I believe that such critics are woefully ignorant about what the Bible actually says about eternal life. So I'm going to explain to you, after we listen to some more music, why it is that I see these truths in the Scripture and how I arrive at them. It'll be very interesting. But first, more music by our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The name of this song is Every Day.
Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. That every day I can be a light that shines your name. Pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every step I take, Lord, that every day I can be a light unto the world.
Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord.
To say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. Every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Every day it's you I live for.
I
walk with you.
Our childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.
So part of the bright future of Star Trek is human beings exploring the universe and finding that life has just cropped up everywhere. Everywhere they go, they find life forms, and it gives great context to their existence as explorers. There's all of this to see and do and learn about. And for some reason, people have this crazy idea that the Bible's vision of the future is that all we will do for eternity is just float from cloud to cloud, strumming harps and singing songs, and how boring is that? And there will be no empathy and no sympathy because no one can get sick and no one can die. And I'm not making this up. There are actually scholars from the academic community that are suggesting this kind of thing. And if you haven't seen this kind of mockery showing up in the popular media yet, just give it a while. And it's a woefully ignorant view of what the scriptures teach. So the Star Trek idea of bouncing from civilization to civilization through the universe as though the massive distances in space were easily traversed, true science is finding that that kind of warp speed travel and even the concept of trying to traverse wormholes by artificially creating them is just undoable. The massive amounts of energy that would be required to create wormholes, even if we could figure out how to do it, just trying to generate the energy that it would take is so impossible that it's shouldn't even be considered. And the distances between the stars, between the galaxies, is just so massive that there's absolutely no sane hope in any scientist's mind of that being accomplished unless there is help from ET. And so when we look and we see the Bible says that, you know, Jesus flew like Neo of the Matrix, we call it the Ascension, but think about it really, he did the Superman thing long before Superman did. He did the Neo thing long before Neo did it, and when Superman and Neo did it, it was fiction. When Jesus did it, it was real. The Bible says that Jesus just appeared in a room that had locked doors and windows. He just appeared, and this is probably best described in modern terms is that he teleported into the room. Well, there's even more interesting things to consider in the Bible, and a lot of this I use as a foregone conclusion in the way I wrote my second novel, the second installment in the Millennial Teleport Trilogy, and the name of that novel is Tesseract. Tesseract just assumes from the get-go that God has created other intelligent life elsewhere, and that as immortal, glorified beings after the Great White Throne of Judgment, we're going to have opportunity to interact with them and to help them and to guide them. And having relationships with these other beings will be a great part of giving our life context. And let me explain why it is that I see this kind of truth in the scripture. First of all, I want to tell you a couple of irrefutable biblical facts about God. One is that God never changes. The scriptures are irrefutable on this. The Lord says, "I change not, therefore are ye sons of Jacob not consumed." Now you may think, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? But just hang on. The scripture says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not change. Now think about this with me logically. God is perfect. He is utterly perfect. He always has been perfect. As a God who knows the future from the beginning, He makes no errors. God's character is perfect, flawless. For God to depart from His character, for Him to depart from the eternal, unchanging essence that is His nature, would be to depart from perfection. It would be to go from perfection to error. God does not change. He has not ever changed. He will not ever change. God is unchanging perfection. So we know that God doesn't change. At least we know that's what the scriptural teaching is about God, that He does not change. The next question to ask is, what is this unchanging character? What is God's nature? What is His personality? Because when we can discern what His personality is, we can then know that that is what He always has been. And I'm going to tell you that the evidence indicates that He is a God of limitless creativity. Now, our first biblical point was that God never changes. Our second point is that the scriptures tell us God created the cosmos. God created everything we see around us. He created the galaxies. He created the interstellar vastness of space-time, the fabric of space-time that holds those galaxies. He created every life form we see around us. And life is so unbelievably diverse around us that we're not talking about a God who just had a fluke one day and created one thing, and he was a one-hit wonder. He'll never create anything again, and He never created anything before. Modern science has not even found all of the life forms to classify them or even give them a name. Life is so unbelievably diverse around us that this describes for us part of the personality of God, part of the character of God. He is an immensely creative God. It's who He is. He is not some lazy God who has to prod Himself out of His normal position of actionless, creationless, lazy, do-nothing to get up and force Himself to go create something. He is a limitlessly creative, phenomenally motivated, working God. Now, the scripture tells us that God worked for 6 days to create the cosmos that we see around us. Now, Einstein's theory of relativity indicates that time does not flow at a constant rate everywhere. Mass controls the tension of the fabric of space-time. The fabric of space-time controls the speed of light, and the speed of light controls the rate of time. Time is a very variable thing. Some cosmologists have found that solutions based on Einstein's theory of relativity indicate that it's actually potentially possible to have a state called achronicity, a timeless state, a state where time not only is not flowing forward very fast, but where time has actually stopped, where time stands still. Let me just put it this way. I don't have any problem believing that God is smart enough to have created the cosmos in 6 days. But the question then becomes, if God's basic character that never changes is that He is this creative being who just simply loves to create things, then why did He stop after 6 days? And the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day. Well, I want to address that. Bible scholars who have skill in linguistics tell us that the connotation there is that God had a design in mind. He had a state of perfection in mind for what He wanted to create. And when He accomplished His plan the work was done. So he stopped. And he then had the potential to enjoy his creation with the humans that he had created. Again, the scripture indicates several races of angels. The Bible describes many different species of angels, and obviously they predate us. These were life forms that existed before this cosmos that we enjoy now. And this is proof that we are yet another in a long chain of living things that God has created. Again, I mentioned that since we can prove from the scripture that angels predate us, it would be arrogant of us to assume that we are the last life forms, the last intelligence that God is going to create. He's been creating intelligence for who knows how long, and I don't believe we're the last. But here we are, and God is ready to enjoy his perfectly balanced creation with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve were able to participate in a state called rest. I don't believe this means that God wasn't at work elsewhere creating, perhaps even at the same time, while he was enjoying a state of rest with Adam and Eve. The big problem here came when Adam and Eve decided to sin, and that threw a monkey wrench in the perfect balance of the cosmos. That threw a monkey wrench in the perfect balance, and that monkey wrench was called the sin curse. And so Adam and Eve messed things up. And God intended for the rest to be a perpetual thing. It was something that they were to enter into that they would never have to leave. But Adam and Eve messed it up. And so God had to go back to work again on a cosmos that he had already finished to perfection. And he's been working to fix it ever since. And he's working with us to not only fix creation, but to give us a chance to make wise choices, to develop a relationship with him, to mature to the place that we can be trusted not to mess it up again. And eventually, when he's got redeemed, glorified, immortal beings that are mature enough that he can trust not to mess things up again, I believe he's going to roll back the curse on the cosmos. He's going to roll back the curse and bring things back into a perfect state of balance. That's going to be a wonderful day. But all of this leads me to believe that wonderful life forms could have been created after us, or may yet still be created after us, and those people might possibly need guidance, the same way we've needed guidance from angels in the past. A lot to think about. Let me encourage you to head over to Amazon.com or AuthorStock.com or SmashWords.com and check out Tesseract, my latest novel.
Teleport with Tess and Daniel to a place beyond time, space, and imagination. Although our world has had visitors from that one, this is the first time in history that it's gone the other way. Tesseract will transform you in mind-stretching ways. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph, available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon or at AuthorStock.com. Available wherever great books are sold.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.